Welcome to this Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. Listen to the full 3-hour morning show Sundays starting at 8 on Mix 106.5.
Good morning. It is Sunday, July 26th, 2026. I'm Shaw Gage on Sunday morning. Hope you're doing well. Welcome on in. That's a mouthful. July 26th, 2026. That's a whole lot of 26s going on in there. Going to be hanging out today talking about the word grace. What does grace mean to you? Does it matter to you? Have you ever thought about it? For me, that's a big word. Want to share some insights, some stories, some thoughts, and just some opportunities that grace was extended or showed up, and it just changed lives. But wanted to share Ephesians 2:8. It says this: "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves; it is the gift of God." You know, every time I start thinking good about myself, or big shot about myself, or I've done this, or you know what. This is a very humbling verse, a scripture to go back to, and I love it because it just cuts right back to this. It's nothing Shaw did. It's nothing you did. I mean, you're going to get credit for it or praise for it or blame for it, whatever, but man, it's the grace of God. That's why I'm here today. That's the only reason I'm here today. I should have been gone a long time ago. Feel like I've had many, many chances to redo, and just for whatever reason, God's given me this platform. Just stand up here or sit here and be on a microphone every week and just let people know that Jesus loves them, and whatever they're going through, whatever you're going through, it's going to be okay. Because you know what? If you just keep doing the right thing and you keep putting one foot in front of the other, and most importantly, you just keep trusting in Him, man, He's going to take care of you. I promise you. Now, look, there's times I wondered. There's times I even doubt now, and I don't know why, because I know God's in control, and I know He's always got what's best for me in store. And when I trust that and go, God, it's not about me. It's about whatever you want me to do and whoever you want me to come in contact with during this situation, or what do you want me to learn? And man, if you just treat it like that, you just don't take life so seriously. It's hard enough as is, but hey, think about that grace. What does it mean to you? Is it something you're good at? Is it something you know about? Is it something that you want to know more about? Well, hang tight. We're going to take a break, come back on the other side, and start talking about real life applications of how grace and why grace is important on Sunday morning. So according to the dictionary, the word grace in the spiritual context is God-given help or kindness. Look around our world today. Do you see a whole lot of God-given help or kindness out there? Compared to the other side, compared to the hate, compared to the no help, compared to the selfishness, we don't see a lot of that out there. So we're really absent from grace. We don't have as much grace in this world as we used to, just overall, but also individually. I know I'm not as quick to extend grace to people as I used to be. Maybe it's me getting older and my filter wearing out, as they call it. But man, grace is important. It is so important, because that's what being the hands and feet of Jesus is all about. Something I'm big on, or try to be big on, is trying to do that, trying to be selfless, trying to put others first, trying to extend grace, that God-given help or kindness. Can I extend that to others? Man, if I do that, I'm going to be fun to be around, and it's contagious, right? If I'm kind, if I'm helpful, and I come and help you, or I'm kind to you, there's a good chance you're going to pay that forward as well. And then whoever you do that to is going to do the same. And it just continues to go on and on and on. And in this day and age, with everything that's going on, you know, I've had a crazy week. It's been a wild week, a lot of action, a lot of stuff going on, good stuff, hard stuff, expensive stuff. I mentioned last week a leak in our home, you know. And so anyway, just life, right? It's just happening. But it's led to a lot of good conversations. And, you know, the one constant theme out there is everybody's saying the same thing. Man, it's so heavy out there. Like, what's everybody so worked up about? Like, why is everybody so ticked off? And, you know, it really keeps all coming back throughout all these conversations I've had in the last week or two, maybe three. It's just everybody's so on their social media and their phones and the news. And it's like, man, we that's become the new focus over the last 10, 20 years in this country. The news has become the new church, right? It's what we collectively in this country worship. We spend so much time watching our channel, watching our brand of politics, or our social politics, our social issues. We want to be so up in, on the latest, greatest information and the news from our side that's all we do. And it just works us up and works us up into a frenzy. And when I say us collectively as a country. Look, I know there's some of y'all out there listening like, man, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't watch that stuff. I envy you. I've tried to quit watching it. I don't watch as much as I used to because it never ends, you know? I mean, it's like, well, this is happening. Well, now it's not. Now it is again. Now it's not. You know what? It's just a yo-yo effect. And the more we watch and the more we go, oh my gosh, look what's happening, the more profitable those news media companies are. And it just, you know what? Let's focus more on the good stuff. Let's hang out like this. Let's have more conversations. You know, nobody in here with me today, but I would love to have as many people in here as I can just to have conversations with people that are in my neighborhood, people that are like me, people that are not like me, people that do different things than I do. And let's just learn about life together. Let's meet characters and let's just try to help each other. Let's turn off all the negative junk and let's just get out there and just start having conversations again and getting face to face and not let these phones and this social media stuff dictate how we live our lives. Y'all, that is not real. Like, that hit me this week. Like, everything I look at on my phone or my iPad or my computer or TV, it's not real. It's pixels, right? I mean, wasn't there a movie about that? Like Pixar, Pixels or something like that? But you know what I'm saying? But think about how much time our society collectively spends on that kind of stuff, on their devices. What about you? All you can answer for is you, and all you can control is you. And I'm speaking to myself here too. But Shaw, how much time are you spending on those devices? What percent of my awake time during the day and night, whenever I'm awake, is spent on an electronic device? Think about that. I know I'm getting a little bit away from grace, but I think I'm going to come full circle back to this right now and go, you know, that's probably part of our problem. These things have us so divided, these social issues and these phones and these blah, 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 whatever it is, the politics, the social issues, whatever it may be, it's just pulling us apart and we're not extending grace to each other anymore. So we're going to talk about grace again this morning throughout this whole show. Got some cool stories, some inspirational stories about people you may or may not know, and just how grace was woven into their story or is woven into their story. And how it's impacted so many people. I hope you're doing well this morning. And if you're not, I want you to just stop right now and smile and just know that I love you and Jesus loves you. And whatever you're going through, it's going to be all right. You know, sometimes all you need in life is a chance. Some people get those chances and they take advantage of them. Some people get them and they don't. Or some people never get those chances. So encouragement to you this morning. And if you get a chance, take it. Pray for grace. Pray that you'll receive grace and that you'll extend grace in the whole situation. But just, man, take those opportunities. Want to throw this one out here to you, and just, this is a pretty cool story. But it says, Vince Lombardi spent years being overlooked as an assistant coach before transforming the Green Bay Packers into the greatest dynasty in football history. Before Vince Lombardi became synonymous with excellence, he struggled to land a head coaching job. Despite earning a reputation as a brilliant assistant at the collegiate level and later with the New York Football Giants, many NFL owners doubted he was the right man to lead a franchise. By the time his opportunity arrived, finally, Lombardi was 45 years old. Most coaches would have considered it a last chance. Lombardi saw it as a beginning. The remarkable part? When he took over the Green Bay Packers in 1959, the Packers had endured years of losing and were one of the NFL's weakest teams. Within two seasons, they were champions. Over the next decade, Lombardi led the Green Bay Packers to five NFL championships and victories in the first two Super Bowls, establishing one of the greatest dynasties in football history. His relentless pursuit of discipline, preparation, and teamwork forever changed the standard of coaching. And today, the championship trophy awarded to every Super Bowl winner bears his name, the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Think about that contradiction. Vince Lombardi spent years waiting for a chance to lead. When it finally came, he redefined what winning looked like. The image that lingers isn't a championship celebration. It's Vince Lombardi standing on a frozen practice field demanding perfection from players who would soon become legends, proving that greatness is built long before the final whistle. Sometimes the greatest legacy begins with someone who simply refused to stop waiting for their opportunity. Man, I love that. Vince Lombardi, a little before my time. I've read about him. I've seen the stories. I've seen the documentaries about him. But isn't that cool? 45 years. And look, back then, 45 years was ancient. Now it's not so old. That's about, you know, it's like the new 30s, I guess. But man, 45 years he waited to get his shot. But when he got it, y'all, he took it. He took it. You see, he was extended grace. Finally, the Green Bay Packers extended grace. They gave him help. They extended kindness, said, yeah, come be our guy. We believe in you. And man, were they ever rewarded by the legend of Vince Lombardi. What a cool story. Thanks for hanging out with us on Sunday morning. Going to take a quick break. Grab a cup of coffee. Think about Vince Lombardi. We'll be back on the other side. What do you do with the chances you get in life? That's what we're talking about today. And grace intertwined in that. Sometimes we get that grace and those opportunities. Sometimes we don't. But, man, it is cool when grace is extended and people receive it and they do nothing but flourish. I wanted to share this when I came across this the other day and just continuing on that theme that we talked about, Coach Lombardi. But, man, when you get that chance, take it. When you get that, take that shot. When you get that shot, shoot it. You know what I'm saying? But check this out. It says he was found with 36 cents in his pocket and nowhere to sleep. 20 years later, his face was the most famous one on American television. His name was Jackie Gleason. And before the world knew him as the great one, he was just a scared kid in a cold Brooklyn apartment trying to survive a childhood that kept taking things away from him. It started when he was 9. One night, his father, an insurance auditor with beautiful handwriting, the kind of man who did the family's bills at the kitchen table every evening, quietly went through the photo albums and pulled out every picture of himself. The next afternoon, he picked up his hat, his coat, his final paycheck, and walked out the door forever. No goodbye, no note, just gone. As if he'd decided to erase himself from his own son's life. His mother, May, was left to raise Jackie alone. She'd already buried one son to illness. Now, terrified of losing her only other remaining child, she kept him inside, away from the other kids on the street. Jackie later remembered standing in the window for hours just watching the neighborhood boys play without him. That's how I developed my poor soul look, he'd joke decades later. But there was nothing funny about it at the time. Then, when Jackie was 19, his mother died too. He was alone, homeless, 36 cents to his name. A girlfriend's family offered to take him in, and he turned them down out of sheer stubborn pride. Instead, he hustled pool and smoky halls to eat, slept where he could, and clawed his way onto stages as an MC for a few dollars a night. Nobody looking at that kid would have guessed what came next. Jackie Gleason became one of the biggest entertainers America has ever produced. A man so enormous in appetite and personality that Orson Welles supposedly took one look at him and declared him the Great One. He filled rooms just by walking into them. He roared, "How sweet it is!" to studio audiences who adored him. He even earned an Academy Award nomination playing pool shark Minnesota Fats opposite Paul Newman, the same pool halls that once fed him, now making him a star. But here's the part almost nobody knows. When Gleason built the show that would define him forever, The Honeymooners, he didn't invent Ralph Cramden's apartment. He rebuilt his childhood brick for brick. The bare walls, the hard chairs, the old icebox, the crushing money troubles, the loud fights that always dissolved into love. It was all real. It was 328 Chauncey Street. The actual Brooklyn tenement where he grew up, right down to the address written into the scripts. He insisted the set stay cold and plain and honest, because that emptiness was the truest thing he owned. The loudest man in America built his masterpiece out of the quietest, saddest room of his life. Today, if you walk through the Port Authority bus terminal in New York, the busiest bus station in the country, You'll find a bronze statue of Ralph Cramden standing there in his driver's uniform, grinning at the working people rushing past him, just like Gleason once dreamed of doing something, anything, to matter. He was abandoned by his father. He lost his mother with nothing left to his name. And he turned every bit of that nothing into a room the whole world still recognizes. 70 years later, because he never stopped believing that even in the emptiest apartment, there was room enough for love. How sweet it is. Jackie Gleason, what an inspiration. You know, I just think it's so cool. We've talked about a couple of inspirational stories here with Coach Lombardi and Jackie Gleason, and both larger-than-life characters out there, but just where grace or an opportunity, something was extended to them, and they took their chance. And, you know, it's just, man, we got to be looking for those opportunities out there, not only just selfishly for us, but also how we can extend grace to others, right? I learned years ago that it's not about me. I try to make it about me. I mess up all the time, and I fall back into that trap of, yeah, it's Shaw needs this, Shaw needs that, Shaw wants it this way. And you know what? When I don't get my way, that's when I start getting upset. And I just, you know, I know what happens when I go, it's not about me. It's about finding a way to serve somebody else through this or to learn something through this. And just don't become the victim. Don't use that victim. We've talked about that on here before. We don't need to fall into that victimhood mentality, right? Sometimes you're deserved to be, you know, hey, man, you get robbed or mugged or, you know, some bad offense. Sure, yeah, you can be the victim, but we don't need to go around looking to be victims. We just need to look for ways to extend grace to others and go the opposite way. You know, I've been talking to a lot of men here this last couple of weeks in my job. It's a predominantly male industry in what I do, metal fabrication and stuff like that. There's a few ladies out there, and I have conversations with them too, but a lot of the guys I've been talking to just about guy stuff in the last few weeks is, man, where are we going? What are we doing? I mean, where's this world? You know, 1 week Iran's fighting us and we're fighting them. The next week we got a peace deal. The next day it's, you know, and it's just ebb and flow. It's back and forth, yin and yang. And it's just like, man, I don't feel like we're going 2 steps forward, 2 steps back. And all I can come up with is, you know what? If we focus on all that stuff, we're just never going to have peace. We're never going to have a happy life. It's always going to be dissension. There's always going to be angst. Like, we got to keep an eye on that stuff, but it doesn't need to be like our focus. What we need to do is focus on stuff like this. Focus on grace, man. Just take a week off from watching the news when you get home from work or whenever you get home. If you turn on the TV or the computer, just take a day off or a week off and go, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go outside of my neighborhood and I'm going to extend grace to that old man down there on the corner, that old lady that, you know, needs help in her yard, or that, you know, whatever it may be, somebody in your neighborhood or down the street or maybe at work, or you God will lay somebody on your heart. You'll know who that is. But I came across this the other day, and it just talked about you can never be too big for your britches, right? I mean, you could, the most famous person in the world can still extend grace to people, right? And it's so cool when I come across something like that. But I came across this about a former NFL quarterback, and it was talking about Randall Cunningham. And it says, after a stellar 16-season NFL career that revolutionized the quarterback position, Randall Cunningham turned the casual Thursday night Bible studies he hosted in his living room into Remnant Ministries, a thriving multicultural megachurch in Las Vegas, Nevada. Ordained in 2004, Pastor Randall and his wife Felicity have grown their fellowship from a handful of friends to a massive congregation with youth centers, community outreach, and an in-house restaurant. Cunningham also served as the Las Vegas Raiders team chaplain from 2020 to 2022. Man, I had no idea that Randall Cunningham was doing that. Now listen, if you're young enough or don't care about football, NFL, don't know who Randall Cunningham was. Like, he was the first like tall, lanky, athletic, dual threat quarterback in the NFL. One of the first. Warren Moon, I guess Warren Moon was more of a passer, but Randall Cunningham, man, he could stride. Like, he could run. He looked like a deer when he ran, but he was so tall, his legs were so long. Like, he could take 4 steps and he'd be like 12, 15 yards. And you're just like, how did he cover that much ground? And he did it in a way that was just so eloquent. So just, I mean, he could just glide down the field. But that joker could also throw a ball about 60, 70 yards on a dime and hit somebody wide open. I mean, he was an incredible, incredible quarterback. You know, a guy like that, NFL career, 16 years, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback, superstar. And yet when he got done with an NFL career, he said, it's not about me. It's not. It's about giving back. And so he took this Bible study. Apparently he had been doing on Thursday nights when he was a player. And he said, man, this is going to go further. And he didn't just grow a Bible study, right? He didn't just open the doors and rent another building or buy another building and say, well, we're going to have a whatever here. Man, he got ordained in 2004. So he went to seminary and he got his pastoral degree. And man, he's the pastor of this church in Las Vegas. Like, that's Sin City. Like, wow, that's incredible. Randall Cunningham. I always liked the guy, but man, I just became a bigger fan. Like, that's so super cool because, again, if I'm that guy and I've got money in the bank, a 16-year NFL career, my pride's probably to the point, man, I probably don't want to be around people. I just want to go and buy a farm and disappear, right? And I get people that, you know, if they're into that and they want, man, it's your life, do what you want to do. But Randall Cunningham said, no, it's not about my comfort. It's not about me disappearing and just soaking out somewhere in the woods and not ever seeing anybody from humanity again. No, man, I'm going to the busiest, most sinful place. It even calls itself Sin City in the United States of America. And I'm going to go start a church and I'm going to go impact people and youth and build a culture from the inside out. Man, hands, you know, hats off, hands up, whatever you want to call it, to Randall Cunningham. Thank you, sir, for stepping up and being a true man and a true leader in this country. Y'all, we need more of that. Check him out, Randall Cunningham with Remnant Ministries in Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll be back here on Sunday morning. I'm Shaw Gage. Man, back with you guys here on Sunday morning. Hope you're doing well. I know I say that a lot, but I really do. I hope you're doing well. You know, some cool stories so far this morning. I wanted to take this last main segment here and just shout out to a young man who we lost this week. He's an Alabamian, but he's been in California for several weeks. If you've been following his story, I've mentioned it several times on this show, but the young man's name is Will Roberts, and Will didn't lose. Will just, man, his body gave out, and he's with Jesus now, so he is the winner. But, man, you guys be praying for Will's family. Just tremendous outpouring of support on Facebook and social media for the Roberts family over these last several months, just following Will's battle with osteosarcoma. And y'all, it's just not fair, but a 16-year-old man, young man, just gone way too soon. We always ask these questions in life, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? It's a tough question. I don't know. But I know God's grace is bigger than all of it. And I know that can be like a Sunday school answer and like, oh, well, you can just wave a magic wand. And that's not what I'm trying to do. I firmly believe that. I haven't been in Will's shoes. I have been in the cancer realm before. I know what God's grace is when it comes to that. And I know that God will give you everything you need to lean on to Him during those times. And I know that the Roberts family did that. Will did a tremendous job of doing that his way too short entire life here on this earth. You know, I didn't personally know Will, just started following him on social media, Facebook, like a lot of you folks have been over the last several months. But just to hear him get on his mom's phone and just record a, man, here's what I'm going through. It's tough and I don't want to go, but I know God's got this and we're going to keep showing up. And, you know, as of just a day or two before passing, telling his dad, you know, under the ventilator, Dad, y'all don't give up on me. I'm still fighting. God still got this, man. He trusted God, trusted Jesus all the way to the end. And y'all, he is standing with the Lord, dancing on the tabletops. And you know what? He ain't worried about that cancer anymore. He ain't worried about that pain. He ain't worried about the what ifs. And man, he is free. He is healed. His family and friends and, you know, everybody that knew him here that he had an impact on in his 16 years is going to miss him, and it's going to bring a tear to their eye when they think about him, but it's going to be a joyful tear because when you think about Will Roberts, you can think about your salvation, and you can know, just like he said several times, man, you can know that you're going to heaven because Jesus loves you. Man, that guy stood up for his faith and what he believed in, and I just can't be more proud to have been able to follow it. I wish I would have had an opportunity to meet him, but his life, his legacy will live on through his friends, through his family members, through the people that followed this. And man, his body may have given out, but I'm going to tell you, he won that race. And job well done, faithful servant, I'm sure is the words that he heard when he crossed that finish line into eternity with Jesus. And to the Roberts family, our prayers are going to go out to you. We're going to continue praying for you guys. We're not going to forget Will, and we're going to try to honor him any way we can. And y'all, if you don't know that story, go check it out. I mean, Will Roberts is the young man's name. He's from somewhere near Tuscaloosa over in West Alabama. Osteosarcoma is the cancer that he had. And y'all, we don't know why. I mean, cancer just stinks, and it sucks. It's a horrible thing, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody, especially a young 16-year-old man who didn't deserve any of that. But y'all, the grace that he and his family extended to everybody that followed that and to each other, and the grace that his church and his community and the followers that were watching extended back, the reciprocation of grace in that story was like something I haven't seen in a long time. And if you don't know anything about it, check it out. If you do know something about it, either way, say a prayer for that family, Will Roberts' family, and Jason and Brittany. And just we give them to you, God, and just, man, wrap a hedge of protection. And the sister Charlie and the grandmom, just pray that you would just, man, wrap your arms around that family right now. We thank you for their openness and their honesty before you. And before all of us, just to let us in to see what a real family does and how they lean on you and how they lean on the Lord and just trust him with everything they have. And we just thank you for that opportunity to that family. We thank you for letting us in and being a part of that. I know it was hard, but you impacted a lot of people. And man, grace is going to be extended to you, I know. God bless Robert's family. Shaw Gage back with you on Sunday morning. Wow, we're already last segment. I mean, I don't even feel like I've had my cup of coffee yet this morning and wrapping it up. But man, when we get to talking about grace, we start talking about the fun stuff. Man, it gets me fired up, and hope you've enjoyed today. You know, just something the Lord laid on my heart. You know, it's again, just a good reminder that it's not about us. Nothing I can do as far as my salvation or anything. It's all God's grace. And Ephesians tells us that in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's a free gift, right? Nothing I can do to earn it. Nothing I can do to save it. I mean, I can't buy it. It's a gift. And it's free. And it's just God-given help or kindness, and it's Jesus Christ is what that grace with a capital G is all about. And if you don't know about grace, check it out. Pray about it. Just meditate on it. And ask God to reveal more about grace to you as you go this week. Again, y'all, I'm not trying to get anybody's business. I'm not trying to tell you how to live life. I'm just trying to share with you. If you're listening, you can hear my voice. There's a reason you're listening. You must be really bored because, I mean, that's what my family tells me. We joke and go, well, hey, both listeners were out of town this week, so I had no listeners on the show. Totally kidding. I'm very thankful for everybody out there that listens, but it's just like, you know, if God's grace was not extended to me, where would I be right now? Where would I be right now? But I'm so thankful that he did extend his grace to me. A, because he loves me. He sent his son, Jesus, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Bam, mic drop. I mean, that's all you need to say. That is grace in a nutshell. And if you don't know that grace, if you've never received that grace, spend some time today just asking God, hey, God, show me more about grace. And again, I'm not a preacher. I'm not trying to get in your business. This is just what the Lord's laid on Shaw's heart this week. And I just want to be an encouragement and let you know that whatever you're going through, if you can hear my voice, that whatever you're going through, it's going to be okay. And Jesus loves you because it's true and it's true. So hang on to that. Trust him. Again, I'm nobody, but this is just what I'm working on. And if it helps you, come on back again next week and we'll do it again. Hey, do me a favor, put a smile on your face before you walk out the door because it makes the world a whole lot brighter place. Love you, everybody. See you back here next week on Sunday morning.
Thanks for listening to the Mix Sunday Morning Podcast. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix 1065, radio.com, the Radio Alabama app, or Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama.